Good morning. So it is the season of Epiphany. So, what are the two texts that you should never make it through an Epiphany season without hearing? Mount of Transfiguration, number one. Anyone want to guess number two? My personal opinion, but... pretty good one. John 2, verses 1 to 11. I got to get out the big Bible. I was hoping this was still here. Jesus turns water into wine, and John even uses the word, manifested his glory. And the third day there was a marriage in Canaan of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. And Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water, and they filled them up to the brim. And he said unto them, draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast, and they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Canaan of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. What exactly do you think Mary was expecting of Jesus when she said to the servants, whatever he says to you, do it? Many commentators will argue back and forth over that exact question. Many will say that Mary was indeed expecting a miracle. After all, this was Jesus. I'm sure he grew up doing many miracles, and Mary had seen them and was expecting more of him. Others will say, no, this is the first of Jesus' miracles. But Mary knew who he was. She was waiting for that first miracle, and here she saw a chance and was hoping to see that first miracle. I don't really see any compelling reason in the text to think that Mary was expecting a miracle. She was expecting that Jesus would take care of the situation, but her words and her actions show that she doesn't know how he's going to take care of it, and she doesn't care. Whatever he says to you, do it. And she leaves. She put it all into Jesus' hands, and she leaves, knowing it will be taken care of. Remember that at this point, Jesus' father-in-law, Joseph, is probably gone, probably dead. And so Jesus most likely was the man of the family. And with that came a lot of responsibility. And I'm sure that Jesus fulfilled that responsibility and fulfilled it well. And Mary had learned that once a task had been given to Jesus, she didn't need to worry about it anymore. Which is exactly what happens in our text. Mary shows great faith and trust in Jesus and is here a wonderful example of how we should trust Jesus. The Pentecostals, the faith healers, the snake handlers, all these would have you believe that the example of faith, the proof of faith, is the ability to ask for a miracle on demand and receive it. In the name of Jesus, turn to gold. That's what they look to as faith. If I can make something happen in the name of Jesus, well, that isn't faith. Not at all. That is an attempt to control Jesus and His power for your own ends and your own glory. Such people demand of Jesus that He performs miracles according to their desire, on their timetable, and in the manner that they think is best, instead of, as we see Mary doing, putting it in Jesus' hands and leaving it there for Him to take care of as He wills. They try to make Jesus into, and His word, into a magic wand that they can wave and get what they want. You remember yesterday I told the story of the film that Cussie Blue showed in Togo of the pastor walking through the village and zapping the demons. That's not a pastor. That's not a Christian. That's a wizard. That's Harry Potter. That's not faith. There were such people in Jesus' own time. Jews that demanded of Jesus, "Show us a sign. Then we will believe on you." Herod, who brought Jesus before him for the sole purpose of seeing a miracle. And Jesus shut that down. No sign will be given to this generation except the sign of the prophet Jonah. Such people do not receive the miracle from Jesus because they are not trusting Him. They are trying to use Him. This reminds me of another story. Once upon a time in a land far, far away, 6.5 years ago, but in India, which is as far away from here as you can get. 6.5 years ago, the mission helpers came to India, and three of them, Peter Evenson, Dorina, and Katie Weekman, went with myself up to the northern part of Andhra Pradesh, where we were traveling around with Juddy, giving our presentation at the different churches. We were using my laptop to do a slideshow to aid with the presentation, and most of the time we were outside. So one night we're outside, big gathering. There's my laptop sitting there in the screen, and it starts to rain. Well, just a little bit of a drizzle. One of those times when you feel a few drops on your head and you're not really sure if it just fell off the tree or if it's actually raining. But of course, I was immediately concerned about my computer. It was an expensive one. I had bought a top-of-the-line ThinkPad because I didn't want it to fail on me while I was traveling the world. That's what I was thinking about. Then the rain started to pick up. And you could kind of feel that this was just the beginning. Pretty soon it was going to be pouring down. So three things kind of happened all at once. I immediately started for my computer. That's where my thoughts were. The people gathered there started to get up, hold things over their heads, started looking around for shelter. But Juddy Benjamin, a very clear, loud voice, "Sit down! God will take care of the rain." Immediately, the rain stopped. We finished the presentation. We got in the car to go home, and it started pouring. Now notice what Juddy did not do. He did not look up at the sky, "Be gone, rain, in the name of Jesus." But he did the same thing Mary did. He put it in the hands of Jesus. God will take care of it. I don't know what He's going to do. I don't know if He's going to do a miracle. I don't know if He's going to let it rain. But He will take care of it. That is not our concern. Our concern is finishing the sermon, the presentation, telling all of you people of the wonderful news of how you are saved from your sin. Those who try to demand and use Jesus' power for their own purposes, according to their own thinking, according to their own will, Jesus shut those people down. But those whom Jesus helped, those for whom He did do a miracle, were those who came trusting His power, yes, but also trusting His will. Remember the man who said, "If you are willing, you can heal my daughter, if you are willing." And Jesus healed his daughter. Remember the blind man, "Son of David, have mercy on us." But the first word, Son of David, they acknowledge who he was. They show their faith. They acknowledge his power, his authority. And with the second phrase, have mercy on us, they put themselves under his will, according to your will. It's that second part, putting ourselves under his will, that shows the greater faith. Imagine if you walk into a restaurant and the waitress says to you, okay, give me $30, sit down, we'll bring you food. Well, where's the menu? Don't worry about it, we'll bring you what you need. How many of you are going to give her that $30? How many of you are going to walk out and go to a restaurant where you get to choose the food menu? I think this is often where we fail the most to trust Jesus. It's not that we don't know that Jesus can and will provide a husband or a wife. It's that we're not really sure we want to accept the one he is going to offer. We're a little afraid that he's going to give us the dull, serious model instead of the gorgeous, fun model. It's not that we're afraid that we're going to end up homeless, starving on the streets. But we want to maintain control. We want to make sure not just that we have a house, but that we have a nice house. And we can go to Starbucks every day. And we have that Ford Mustang or whatever car it is that you want, or the newest iPhone. We want Jesus to help. We know that he can, but we also want to try and maintain control instead of putting it all into his hands and walking away knowing he will take care of us. That's faith. Now, of course, I'm not saying that when we fail to do this, and we're going to hell. Of course not. Many of us who have heard the gospel, know the gospel, we know that Jesus died for our sins, we've heard of the forgiveness of sins, and we trust that promise of God. We trust him with our eternal salvation, and we are saved then, but we don't necessarily take that next step of trusting him with our earthly life. You have the example of the apostles many times, but in particular, the storm at the sea. They all, well, except maybe Judas, they all had saving faith, but how many of them got out of the boat at Jesus' command? And even the one who did didn't make it very far. We know that Jesus will take care of our eternal soul. Let us remember to trust him with the earthly life also. When we leave our life in Jesus' hands, when we give up control to his will, he will not always give us the fat-filled burger that we really want. But he's never going to leave us with rocks for dinner either. Amen. We finish with the singing of hymn 428.